You never know how long a message is going to take. You kind of get a feel for it, right? But then I'm feeling pressed. I'm feeling pressed with all the things I think God wants to teach us out of verse 41 to 48. Will I get done before 3 p.m.? Just for our visitors to know, we'll be done no later than 3 p.m. Just kidding. They're like, what? But no. We'll be done before 2. And that's also a joke. You're held captive here. And you notice we didn't take up an offering, but you have to pay to get out. All those are jokes. Let's just read Luke chapter 12, verse 41 to 48. And I'm going to back up after we do this, but let's just start there. We finished in verse 40 last week. Luke chapter 12, verse 41. Then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And you'll find this interesting, as Jesus just generally doesn't answer most questions that people ask. We saw that in Sunday school today. He didn't even address what Nicodemus said. He said, you must be born again. And so Peter says, Lord, this parable, and we'll go back and look at that in just a second. But he said, are you talking to us or to everybody? And basically, here's what Jesus said. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it applies to you, that's who I'm speaking to. And so then he goes in verse 42. And the Lord, that's Jesus, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47. And that servant which knew the Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. Title of the message again this morning, what kind of servant are you? Look again at verse 41. Peter said, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even unto all? Let's just go back to verse 35, and we're going to read 35 to 40. This is the story. That's what a parable is. Para alongside, it's a illustration, a story come alongside existing truth. Jesus gives this illustration in verse 35 to 40. Let's go back and look at it. And he says this, verse 45, let your loins be girded, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come forth in the second watch, that would be 9 to midnight, or in the third watch, that would be midnight to 3 a.m., and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. That's what Peter asks. He says, is that story you just told, is that to us or is that to everybody? Well, I'm going to tell you his explanation of this. It's to every single person in this room. And it's so fitting for I'll call this a religious gathering. I don't even like that description. But everybody in this room this morning is not going to heaven. I don't know who is and who isn't. God knows the heart. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you perfectly inside and out. And what Jesus describes here, there's going to be good stewards or good servants. The word steward, just, I could ask our front row scholars. In fact, I'll ask. You guys have a definition for steward? Do I need to put some reward to it? Then you'd be like, well, let me guess. Gerald will give you. No. So you have a thought what a steward is? Servant. That's good, because I actually, what kind of servant are you? I want a more complete definition, and then maybe your dad will take you out to eat wherever you want to go. It's a servant, but it's a manager, a steward, someone that's been given responsibility. And how are you? It's part of it is serving. There's no doubt about it, right? It's to be a steward is God's given you gifts, right? He's given you like that smile right there. Okay, that's good. All right, so he's given you gifts, and he's given you life. He's given you whatever God's given you, and how are you managing that? There's two kinds of stewards, two kinds of servants, and in this environment that we are all, I would say, you're religious enough to come to a church building. All right? There's two kinds of servants. There are good ones, and there are counterfeit ones. This passage is shocking. It's just the next verse. It's not that I said, oh, I can't wait to preach this message, because it is shocking. And so both of these are going to be in the mix of servants. And Jesus gives a clear delineation between those that are his and those that aren't. And so I ask you this morning, what kind of servant are you? Are you a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And really what I'm asking, are you truly born again? Are you truly saved? Have you been rescued from your sins? We sang songs this morning that talked about needing our sins washed away. You cannot go to heaven with your sin. People seem to be shocked when I let them know, do you think you can get to heaven by being good? Everybody says, yes. I'll say, but I'm going to tell you, you can't get to heaven with your sin, so how are you going to get rid of it? Everybody knows this. Being good won't do it. That's what everybody's trying to do. Be a good person. Do the best they can. And you ought to try to do good. That ain't going to get you to heaven, because it will not erase your sins. You see, it's the only way to be a good servant is you must be born again. Are you a true follower of Christ? Is he yours? And he lays out clearly what the descriptions are. And even when we get to the counterfeit servant, I want to make sure I say this before you misunderstand. Every believer in here, those that are, you're truly born again, you can have moments and that of a counterfeit servant. And we ought to be ashamed of that, and it ought to convict us. We ought to make it right with the Lord and make it right to anybody else we've offended with some of these things. So I'm not trying to get the true servants to doubt, but it is this. I want you to really examine your heart. It is a big deal. Are you his? And if you are, then rejoice. Let's look at these two kinds of servants. First one I want you to look at is traits of a good steward of Christ. A good steward of Christ. You've been given things. The first thing I want you to look at verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? First thing I want you to see is a description in verse 42 is faithful. Faithful. Just look at Luke 19:17. I wanted to pick verses from Luke. You guys are all familiar with in Matthew. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, he says in Luke 19:17, he says unto them, well, thou good servant, same kind of thought, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Remember this verse, because it's going to be part of the reward is when you've been faithful. Here's what it is. You've been faithful. And the Lord, it's true, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. It's God is so understanding. All he asks you to do is be faithful with what he's given you, be faithful with what he's commanded, and do what he said. That's it. That's all that Christianity is about. It's the honor of Christ. I am not going to heaven because I'm faithful. I'm going to heaven because Christ was faithful to the Father. He did all that I couldn't do. He took my punishment. He died because of my sin and your sin, and he rose again on the third day. He's the one that's faithful, and he saved me from my sins by faith in the work of Christ. And so then all he says is, my good servants, my good stewards, they're just faithful. Faithful. Just doing what they're supposed to do. No fanfare, no bright lights. Just to be clear, there's a lot of attention on preachers. Too much so. And I'm not all that. I'm not any more special than you before God. Understand that. He's given me a responsibility, and I need to delight in that, and I need to be thankful for that, and I will answer more for that because I have more influence when I teach the Word of God, because this is a monologue. One way, you guys are doing a great job, right? Sometimes I hear, boy, it wasn't a monologue because people are, you know, responding to me, and I don't hear anything when I'm preaching. But it is all that God asked for you to do. Joe, just be faithful. Just be Joe for Jesus. Don't try to be Noah. Like, don't want to. Just be Joe. Learn the Word of God and just be faithful. Don't be discouraged. You say, my life is... Joe's not said this. And so, why am I picking on Joe? Third row today. And plus, your sister's here, so I thought I'd pick on you. And it's, you know, so many people walk around, they're bored in life, and that's a great temptation of the devil. Oh, the devil has a plan for you if you're bored. Oh, he'll bring excitement into your life. And then when you wake up the next morning, you'll realize how foolish you were. How do I know that? It's happened over and over with me. I'm not satisfied with what Jesus has given me, and I want something else. And the devil has a plan for you. Oh, he does. You know what God asks? He says, just be faithful. Day after day. Day after day. Day after day. Joe, just do what God's told you to do. And I want you to be excited about that. Because you're in a better place. Nobody knows Joe. Right? Nobody knows Steve either. I'm not saying that, right? I mean, for those three faithful YouTube watchers, thank you. And, you know, but it's, I'll be held more accountable, right? But I think you just might be way more rewarded just by doing what you know God would have you to do. Doesn't have to be sexy. It's just faithful. Just faithful. That's a good steward. Just be faithful. As we enter into 2026, just be faithful. What does God want you to do? Just be faithful. What has God commanded? Just be faithful. And you know what he says? You've been faithful in a very little. Well done. I'll make you a ruler. Just be faithful. So another description, look at verse 42, is he says, who then is that faithful and wise steward? So I've got my, this is the AI answer. I don't even look up dictionaries anymore. It's just AI. I'll take this is the answer from AI. And so here's what wisdom is. I just thought, I wonder what they would say wisdom is. And I thought it was a pretty good definition, but it lacked eternal perspective. Okay, it just lacked a little eternal perspective. But it said wisdom, the ability to use knowledge, experience, and good judgment to make sound decisions. I think overall, that's, you know, wisdom is the ability for you to make wise decisions, to have good judgment in the things you decide. But where was the miss? It didn't have God's word in it. Let me tell you, you want to be wise, you need to know the Bible. And so when it says this, the ability to use knowledge, what knowledge? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the knowledge of God's word. And the Bible says this, study, right? And whenever any sentence begins with a command, who's the assumed subject? You are, I am. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to have wisdom, you need to know the Word of God. Find a way that you can get God's Word in your mind, that ultimately it'll get in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is not enough to get it here. You want it to penetrate the old heart. But you got to get it in your mind before you can get it in your heart. But it's meditating on it. It's believing it. It's taking advantage of observations of people. It's one of the things that's beautiful. When you get involved in people's lives, you'll find out you have much to be thankful for. You think you got trouble? Get involved in people's lives. You don't have that much trouble. You have a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot to be thankful for. And you'll learn. You'll learn from people. You know, it's like sometimes I think, why do they do that? How dumb, right? Dumb, right? And I think, well, something got in their head. Now they're convinced that's all they can do. Well, if I review my life, what about the besetting sins that I struggle with? Something got in my head, and I think I can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, it begins with thinking differently. What can help me think differently? If I want to think differently, I want to think according to the Bible. Young lady at Thornton's, I don't think I've told you this story because it only happened in the last couple weeks. I don't even know her name. We gave her track. I've got to remember her name. And her badge is always covered up. So I'm always like, see if I can, you know, but I can't see her badge. So I don't know her name. So she said, oh, I have a question for you. She had a question for me just a couple weeks ago. Have I told you this? No. She said, I have a question for you. She goes, why did God create the devil? Man, that's a good question, right? And I said, I'll be back. I got this missionary going to Mozambique. And I said, he will have the answer because his mother's here. And she's the one that helps him with understanding. So I looked at her and I said, are you an atheist? And she said, I am not. I said, well, that's good. I said, is the God you believe in? I said, is he perfect? Or is he just pretty good? You never know. Might make a mistake or two along the line. Just a little trippy-roo. But he's pretty good. I said, is he pretty good or is he perfect? And she said, God is perfect. I said, so I'm going to turn this question around. I want you to think on this and I'll be back. I said, I'm here often. I said, what was so perfect when God created the devil? It was the perfect thing to do. And I said, I want you to ponder that. God's perfect. You told me that. And he made the devil, and that was the perfect thing to do. I said, I'm also going to do some research. Look, I don't know if I have all the answers. How is God making the devil the perfect thing to do? I want you to know this. Did he ever make a mistake, Joe? Never has. We know that. I'm telling you, that's a tough question, right? And I could come up with my own theories, but here's what I wanted her to know this. Is your God a pathetic God, or can you trust him? That's a great question. Why did God make the devil? I'm not sure. I have my thoughts, but I want you to think about it, because here's what I want you to test. Is God truly the perfect, and is he truly the great God? Or is that one of the mistakes he made? Was putting the tree of the knowledge of good and evil also a mistake in the Garden of Eden? Or was God a perfect God? You see, the reason we can have confidence, I'm not bothered when people say, what about this verse? I'm like, oh, you thought I knew all 33,000 verses. Well, that's one I don't remember. You know, and so I'm not worried. You can't shake me. And I pray that it's in the Lord by his grace and not Steve's power. But you see, I want to be grounded and God can shake me. But I pray you can't by coming up with a verse that I don't understand, that I don't know what it means. Because you know what? I know who my God is. He's the perfect God. Everything about him is good. Everything about him is holy. Everything he does is just. Everything he does is right. That's not blind faith. That's not foolish faith. That's consistent with what the Bible says, and it's consistent with what I also see. Every problem in my life is due to sin. 99% of it is due to my sin and the consequences of my choices and my foolishness, and I get upset at God because of my consequences, and I'm wrong. You see, we need wisdom so that we don't doubt God. I doubt a whole bunch. It's okay if you doubt me. Don't doubt God. He's the only one that can save your soul eternally. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. And I know this world, it's confusing, it's difficult, and it's hard, but don't you let the devil make you question God. Get in God's word, and I'm telling you, you think it's a fairy tale? Then why don't you just read the fairy tale? You've read Dr. Seuss, why not the Bible? What you'll find out is, it's not so much a fairy tale. I'm not worried what your opinion is on the Bible. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to study the Bible with you. The only thing that'll make us wise unto salvation is the Scripture. You want to know what God requires? It's the Scripture. He's so good to us. I think it's a little bit harder living in the 21st century with all of the devices the devil has to bring temptation and sin. And I think sin is accelerating. And I say it's harder from that aspect, but I'll tell you this. If you asked me, would I rather live when there was, you know, less sin? Would I rather live, I want to live now. I mean, just, I love running water. I love toilets. I really do, man. I don't want an outhouse, right? I mean, it's like, I'll hold it, you know? And I love technology, right? I love that I can fly round trip to Tampa, see my grandkids for $69. That's pretty amazing, right? And I love all that, but so I'm not going to complain about all the struggles with sin, because the devil takes all the devices and he just turns them and he perverts everything. I want to be wise. I want to be wise, not a wise guy. I want to have, you see this? I want to use the knowledge of Scripture, my experience in the Lord that matches Scripture, and I want to have good judgment to make sound decisions that will honor the King. That's wisdom from above. The good servants are faithful. They just do what they're told. I want you to understand this. You got a job, you're bored, do what you're told. Do it well. I know. I mean, I'm just curious. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. I'm not going to be like, oh, some preaching. You shouldn't. It'd be good. How many of you love to have to work in order to get income? How many of you say, I love having to work to get income? Okay, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. How many of you say, I really do like the income? No, but they don't have to raise your hand. Right. But it's like this. That's okay. And so, you know what? Let me just tell you. People have asked me. I've been gone from secular work for 13 years. They say, do you miss it? Not at all. Zero. Zero. I can drive by where I've worked, and it's sort of weird. I'm like, I knew somebody that worked there. Oh, the politics. I hate it. I don't feel like I work for a living. I feel like I'm dreaming at times, and I feel like I wish I wasn't pastor at times. And but I'm not going to complain. It's an honor. And but it's this. You know what? Do your job well. It's a job. Do it well. Somebody's watching you and seeing how you behave. Are you representing the King well? I look at you, Alex. HVAC, man. I'm telling you what, I would not have fingers, because I mean, that's like, there goes a finger. That stuff's the sharpest stuff in the world, right? You wear gloves? No, okay. All right. And so he's missing two fingers, but when you cut yourself, what do you say? You don't have to. Let me give you some options. Ouch would be a good one, right? That's acceptable. But be different. And if you blow it, just say something, I'm sorry. I didn't represent my King well. Just tell them that. And they're going to think. Because the King terminology is used today in our country. This is weird. So I'm misidentifying myself. I'll say, I misrepresented my King. And his name is Jesus. You see, just be faithful. Just show wisdom. And then the third thing, this is it. Look at this in verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. And you'll see this back in the parable. They were looking for his return. And so a good servant, a good steward, will be looking for the return of Christ and doing the work of God. I want to ask you this. Are you looking for Christ's return? Do you actually think he might come back today? Do you want him to come back today? Does your life represent that? Are you living as though Christ may come back? And are you doing the work of the Lord? It's been a people observation time for me. I told the guys last night in our Bible study, and they made me turn out to sound like some kind of weirdo. And I said, I've been people watching, and they're like, ooh. I just watch people, and I just wonder, what are you living for? What gets you out of bed every day? What motivates you? I will tell you, if it's not Jesus Christ, what a dud. Because life is a dud. But with Jesus, you see, I know why I'm here. I've got a king that's coming. He's given me a work to do. I need to be ready for my king to return. And I need to be about his business, his work, his kingdom, not mine. You see, the Bible is pretty amazing. You don't have to put your identity, you don't have to put your joy, you don't have to put your satisfaction in anything but the work of God. Then you need to know the Bible. What does he want me to do? What would God have me to do? And there are the basics. I'm not going to go through those today, but there's basics. Talk to me. And if you're truly his, what life is about is, are you about the Father's business? Are you ready for him to come? So when he comes, you'll have the light burning and you'll say, welcome, Lord. That's it. That's the description of a faithful servant. Good steward. Faithful, wise, looking for the return and doing the work of God. Nothing just super special, just faithful. You know what employers love? Somebody that just shows up, does the work, and shuts up. God wants you to be faithful, do the work, and speak up about one thing, Jesus Christ. Are you doing the work of God? That's it. I know there's many ways to summarize what Christianity should be all about, but I'm telling you that Jesus said this. He said, you do that, I'm a happy king. I'm a happy Lord. What's the reward of a good servant? Good steward, made a ruler. Look at verse 44. Made a ruler. He says this, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So I'm going to ask a question here. So I'm going to give you a couple options, and then I don't ask trick questions. This one may be, just to give you a little hint. So you're going to have to participate. I'm going to make everybody raise their hand. I really can't. You guys never raise your hands for anything I ask. I'm going to give you two options. I'm going to ask you this. How many of you would, don't raise your hands yet. How many of you would say, I would love to be a ruler? And how many of you would say, no, I'd rather be a servant? Okay, so those are the two options. I'm going to ask just a second. Not yet. How many of you would say, I would love to be a ruler? How many of you would say, servant is good. Okay, so I'm going to ask this. How many of you would say, I'd love to be a ruler? Raise your hand. Seven, that's good. I would raise my hand as well. You know why? That seems to be something that Jesus would want me to be. So all of you guys, wrong answer. So now, I'm just kidding. How many of you say, I'd rather be a servant? All right, keep your hands up because I'm taking names, addresses, phone numbers because I have some work for you to do, all right? Have you noticed that we have a little candle wax on the chairs this morning? All right, so yes, I do need that. Here's how we'll do it. We're going to get an iron and some Bounty paper towels. I'm dead serious. I've looked this up. And the Bounty will soak up the wax and we'll get it done. So how many said, I want to be a servant? Fewer hands go up and you nod. You dogs. I'm gonna give you a thought this morning, and I think both would be glorious. Anything for the king would be glorious. But I want to show you this. And I've been a little bit just examining how will God reward us. Well, this is one way he'll reward us. You will rule with him, and it'll be perfectly done because it'll be in eternity. It'll be, I think, partially during the millennial reign. And so it's an honor. He says this, if you're faithful, I'll let you rule. And there's no greater honor than to rule with Christ under his authority. It's not rulers like we think of today. So I know some of you didn't raise your hand because you thought, that sounds so easy. I want to rule. You know, not in that vein. I just want to rule with the king. Because as a ruler, imagine this. You know, if I were president of the United States, I know what my number one job would be. My number one job would be
to evangelize the United States of America. You know the best thing for our economy? This would be me. Jesus Christ. You know, they press conference. President, what are your concerns about the Middle East? We need Jesus Christ. We need the gospel to permeate the Middle East more. Mr. President, we've noticed that there's a drought in America. What are your thoughts and solutions? We need to get on our knees, and we need to turn and repent of our sins and turn in faith to Jesus Christ. And yes, I'll let everybody else figure everything else out, but let me tell you where it begins. It begins with Jesus Christ, and that's dead serious. You know what the number one job of a ruler is? It's to represent the king. And that's going to be the greatest honor in the world. So I'm going to show you a verse. I'm going to show you a verse. And I'm going way slower than I even thought this morning. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Give you the context. This is when the apostles are walking down the road. Hey, man, who's going to be the greatest? You know, and they're fighting over this. Well, you know, and Peter, James, and John are like, I think we're in the lead. You know, because they got some special, they were given special access to Jesus. But I'm telling you this, it doesn't mean you're going to be first. You're just going to have more responsibility. That's the whole context of this passage this morning. Whoever's given much, much will be required. Much will be required of the apostles when at the judgment seat of Christ. But understand this. He sat them down, and here's what he said. This is so interesting. So he sat them down after he said, hey, what were you guys speaking about? And they go, we're not going to tell you. He knew. I mean, it's like, I guess they hadn't had that omniscient conversation yet. Where you guys, well, guys, I know what you're thinking. So they seemed like, not telling you. And he sat them down and he called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. I think it's going to be awesome. David talks about he'd rather be a keeper of the house, the door of the house of God's temple than to be lost. It's not bad to be servant. I want to tell you this. It's interesting. It is the same shall be last of all. You, if you're truly saved, so this is different in our context. If you're truly saved this morning and you make life about you, here's probably what you'll do all of eternity. You'll serve. You'll be thrilled about it. I'd like to rule. If I ask you that context now, I don't know who knows how you would answer it, right? It is this. It is, would you rather be in charge or have to do what somebody else says? I guess there's personalities, okay? It's really tough because you're like, okay, I'm going to zap you. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just telling you this. It seems to be, cause the more I keep studying this, God says this, for the faithful ones, he's going to bless you for all eternity. And it's not about ego. It's not about that. It's just about privilege of serving the king. If you are focused on you and you're truly saved, you'll probably be a servant of all, maybe for eternity. You'll be happy. But I think what God would prefer is that you would rule with him. That you'd be a ruler. Traits of a good steward. Don't let me lose you on this last thought. But now let's look at traits of a counterfeit servant. First thing I want you to see is he mistreats the servants. Look at verse 45. But and if that servant say in his heart. So these are servants. They're all mixed together. Sort of like the wheat and the tares. It's a parable, right? You got the weeds in the middle of wheat. Don't tear any of them up. I'll take care of that at the judgment. This seems to be a similar thought. But he said, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Doesn't look like Jesus is coming anytime soon. I got some time. My Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants. And so he mistreats the Lord's servants. I want to ask you, I'll start where this is exactly within context. How do you talk about Christians? How do you talk about people that go to Hope Baptist Church? We'll get specifically. How do you treat them? It'll identify your heart. Now look, I whine and complain too. People irritate me too. But I want to tell you this. They're God's children if they're born again. You understand that? I got to remind myself all the time. If I'm mean to my wife,
You know who my father-in-law is? God. Because she's the child of God. He's also my father, but he's my father-in-law. And she talks to him every single day. I need to take care of that. I'm going to ask you this. How do you treat people at work? Are you different Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Are you just cussing like everybody else? Talking about, you want to be in the cool group. And whenever there's a cool group, there's an uncool group. Yes? I don't care what setting it is. We all become like 12-year-olds. Yeah, I know, man. They don't have it, do they? And you'll just put them down. And you'll just cuss. And you'll tell the dirty jokes. You see, I love that you're here. Because God might move on your heart. I pray he moves on my heart. But you see, the true servants, they're true on Monday, they're true on Tuesday, and when we blow it, and we do, we're going to be convicted and we're going to make it right and we'll humble ourselves. What about you? Are you a counterfeit servant? Or are you the real deal? Mistreats the Lord's servant. Second, self-indulgent and drunken. Look at this. It says that he beats the men servants and the maidens. And look at end of verse 45, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. And so all it is just, you know, I'm always just thinking about myself, me, I. And so it's, you're like a four-year-old. And so I'm becoming an expert at four-year-olds because I'm getting a bunch of them. So Elia's four, right? And who is Elia focused on? Elia. Oh, she is, right? You don't hear as many Elia jokes because she's like getting an attitude there a little bit, right? I love Elia. No, it's good. It is Callum's quickly rising in the ranks because he's not two yet. All Elia thinks about is Elia. Watch her open her gifts. No thank you, no nothing. Understand this. When you only think about yourself, self-indulgent, me, you're acting like a four-year-old. Drunkenness, self-indulgent. I'm gonna escape this world. This world's so hot. I want you to understand this. And so I know of nobody in particular, but if you can't handle life without alcohol, I'm talking. Look, I got to be super careful. If you can't handle life, there are medicine is good. So I don't mean it. I'm talking. If you have to escape life and numb your senses with alcohol or illicit drugs, there's a problem. Jesus isn't enough. You see, counterfeit servants, it's all about them. Counterfeit servants, they let the other guys serve. Counterfeit servants, look, everybody at Hope Baptist Church, and I love every single person at Hope Baptist Church, not everybody serves here. I'm not thinking of anybody, I'm going to make this comment. And so I'm thinking of anybody's name. I cannot believe there are any women. Now, if you're older, maybe, okay, get it if you're older. And you can't hold a baby. Some of you that say you won't do the nursery, I don't think God's happy about that. I said it. Just deal with it. I'm just telling you, why? Because it's all about you. I'm glad I'm a guy and I can't do the nursery. So, you know, just hallelujah, right? But all I'm telling you is you should rejoice and serve the King. It has nothing to do with the babies. It's all about the King. And don't you dare, while I love your preaching so much, go kid your grandma. You know, I used that phrase in South Africa, and then I found out after about 3 weeks, you know, they can't understand. They thought I said, go kick your grandma, right? And so I was like, no, don't kick her. I got to stop using cliches in South Africa. But it's. I'm just telling you, it's self-indulgent, me. Now, there might be a reason that you can't do the nursery. Most of them aren't legit. I see them. I ask for them. I'm about to get involved in the nursery. That's not a good sign.
And you hear Bill laugh because Jill does the nursery schedule. Jill has aged since she has taken on the nursery schedule. You know, hopefully AI will help her. And AI actually said, you mean you have people that are able to watch the nursery and they won't? And then Jill responds, yes. And AI goes, counterfeit. No, I'm just, you know. I'm just telling you, we make life about us. Make life about us. You know, Keaton's not here this morning, and so he struggles with mornings, and that's all right. I love Keaton. You know, he spent a lot of time last night, and he was texting me, and he goes, I can't get all this wax off. I said, keep trying. No, I didn't. And I said, oh, we're going to have to figure out a way. But you know what? He did a great job. It looks better. And I said, hey, can you switch the ones that look terrible and put them in the young adults room? And so, sorry, young adults. But he did. You know what I love? It's he cared. He cared. You know, I could go on and on. I see people doing the bathrooms. I mean, you know, it's I struggle even naming names because I'll miss people and you're going to think, he left me out on purpose. I didn't. The fact, I love our bathrooms, man. It smelled fresh. You changed the urinal screens, didn't you? Yeah, I could tell. I was like, that smells so good, right? Why would I mention that from the pulpit? I don't know, but it was refreshing. It was refreshing this morning, you know, but people serving, vacuuming, doing different things. I love this. So Nassim, he was at, where were you at? Dollar Store or something? Dollar Tree and candy canes. If you see the little candy canes, text me. And so, because we give away a lot of candy canes at the Fairfield Parade of Lights. He got maybe a couple hundred, 400 or 500 little candy canes for $10. That's way better than Oriental Trading, let me tell you. But you know what I love? Just saw candy canes and thought, I wonder if we can use those for next year. Nobody will know. How old are these? They're brand new, made last night. And it is, now you guys are like, I'm not eating anything there. It is just the counterfeit, self-indulgent, and drunken. Next, they're not looking for the return of Christ. You wouldn't know. So since I picked on, I'm just going to pick on a bunch of things. I'm in a shock, a little bit of a shock, because I didn't know that video games were so predominant still. It kind of separates me. So I didn't say that video games are wrong, but I'll tell you this. If you are addicted to video games and your life is about video games, you have a problem. Okay? I'm just telling you this. I know too many people. I know people in ministry, and it just blows my mind, that spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours playing stupid video games. It's not a problem having leisure. Golfed yesterday. Stephen and I beat Ron and his friend. And I could tell I pushed it a little far with Ron yesterday. I said, Ron, I love smack talk, especially when I win. I could tell you all about it. We came back. They fell apart. Anyway, I'm sorry. But it is, why did I bring that up? Because it was in my notes. No. I'm not saying you can't have leisure. I'll just tell you this, though. So if I can pick on the people with the nursery, I can pick on you. You just examine yourself. You know what you need to do? Stop playing video games. That'd be my recommendation. Jesus is coming again. You don't have time to waste. Okay, fine. Hour to 2 hours a week. If you can do that, fine. If you play more than that, get alive. Okay? And your life needs to be in Christ. He's coming again. Will he find you playing a video game, wasting your time? What I would tell you is, you're not excited about Christ. I know. I don't do this often. Right? I'm going to get in big-time trouble for the nursery. Some people may leave. You know what? We need good and faithful, wise servants. I'm not looking for video game players. I didn't say video games are wrong. Are you dominated with stupid stuff like that? You dominated with sports? My stepdad told me, he goes, could you believe? Can you believe that they're not putting the NFL on regular TV anymore? And I'm like, well, I didn't tell him this. And he was like, I just can't believe it. And I'm like, well, great. But then I realized that's just more Fox News for him. And so it's this. That'd be good for us. Right? I need less sports, not more. I need more Christ, not less. I need less video games, not more. I'm just telling you, I'm blown away, and I really don't know specifics. I've kind of gotten out of it. I'm out of it. That people actually, that Christians, they're dominated with video games. And then you sleep till noon. Go to bed, get up, serve the Lord, and I beg you, if you say, you know, I need some help, what can I do? Oh, ask Grant. He was our intern this past summer. Grant didn't get everything done. So there's some left for you. But I want to tell you this. Pursue souls. Get on your knees and pray for them. Who are you pursuing? It's a beautiful thing. How are you serving the Lord? Or are you just like this? You're not looking for the return of Christ. And you know what? I've got 30 hours a week, 20 hours a week to play video games. I will tell you, you're out of balance. You can confront me. If I'm spending 20 to 30 hours a week on things that aren't of Christ, I'm out of balance. I'm messed up. It's not right. Follow me? We're not looking. And then finally, they didn't prepare themselves, and they refused to do God's will. I want to show you this, and I'm going to hustle. It's look at this. He says this in verse 47. And that servant, these are the counterfeit servants. And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And so I want you to understand this. Here's the reward. The reward of the counterfeit servant, it's eternity with unbelievers. Look at verse 46. The Lord of that servant, this is the counterfeit servant, verse 46, will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with unbelievers. They didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. But they mingled with the other servants and thought they were one. And then he says this, they will have greater punishment. Look at verse 47. And that servant, the ones that knew, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And he that knew not, those that have been less blessed. I told the guys in our Bible study last night, remember this, Luis? I told you, I said, Luis, if you die without Christ, I'm your worst nightmare, because you know more than the average person. And if you reject Christ, this is just. It's not God being a meanie. You should be held more accountable than someone that knows less than you, correct? I don't believe anybody dies without understanding the gospel. But Luis, you understand it better than the average bird. And so I want him to know that. That's a big deal. See, that's justice. When you've been given more, you'll be held more accountable. When you've heard the truth more, you'll be held more accountable. Oh, and let me tell you, there's no pleasant spot in eternal damnation, but there will be different levels of damnation. Those that didn't know as much as others will have fewer stripes. Their damnation will not be as bad, though all of it's horrible. Anybody want to have stripes? No. That means you're beaten, and it cuts your flesh, and you have stripes put in your flesh. It's an analogy. Jesus is helping us understand this. Eternity is real. He is a just judge, and he will punish perfectly. He will punish according to your knowledge. He will punish according to what you've been given. He will punish according to your sin. And the only way that you can avoid that is faith in Jesus, who took your punishment and will remove your sin. You see, he doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to punish me. That's why he punished his son, Jesus Christ. But if we refuse, and we know what he wants, and we refuse, we will justly be held accountable. Do you understand that? That's not why you will turn to Christ, but you must. God is so honest, and here's the whole principle of the thing: unto whom much is given, much shall be required. I want you to know this. I love our visitors today, so you'll be less accountable. That doesn't mean don't come so your stripes will be fewer. Just know the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We want to help you know the truth. I want to help you know the truth. It's this. God will be just. Everybody in this room, you've been given much. You're born in the United States, you're blessed. Whoever the poorest person is in this room, you're rich in the standards of the world. You understand this. When I was in South Africa is the richest of the 54 nations in Africa. And the average person lives on $25 a month. Gas is $5 a gallon, by the way. They don't have cars. and we complain. Unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Let me talk to the good servants, those of you that are saved. Are we using what God's given us for His glory? Or are we acting like Jesus isn't coming anytime soon? Jesus said, I will serve Him. In the parable, the Lord serves those that were looking for His return. We get distracted by a million things. I picked on some specific things this morning. I normally don't. I'll probably get in trouble for it. But I say it because I care about you. If you're obstinate and resistant, examine your heart. Why don't you want to serve the King? Why do you always say no? There are people in this room I never asked to help anymore, because the answer was always no. Glad you're here. But I would be concerned if I were you. My dad taught me this when I grew up. He said, if anybody asked you to do anything for the Lord, you should say yes, unless you absolutely cannot. And my dad said no a lot. You know, good advice, and it stuck. And then God sent me men into my life that asked a bunch. I'm like, shut up. It would just ask, and I'd be like, okay. And then God would get a hold of my heart. Do you see what a privilege it is to be a servant of the King? You serve today, He'll make you ruler tomorrow. I ask you this, or are you counterfeit? You're a fake. You see, all you must do is humble yourself, turn from your sin, and trust in Christ. He'll save you. And He'll give you a desire that says, I just want to serve. Are you a good servant? Or are you a counterfeit?